While growing up, because my birthday is in October, most birthday parties and so on had a Halloween theme to them from day one on throughout the years. So when I was 14 years old, there was something new that came to Church Point, that came to many communities around here, and that was a video store. You could actually rent videos to watch and even rent the VCR to watch them with. So for my birthday, that's what we're going to do, have some friends over, rent some videos and watch it. So of course, being 14, the video that I saw and wanted was the black and white 1968 George Romero version of Night of the Living Dead. I was 14, remember that. Of course, it scared the heck out of us, being black and white and everything. But you know, from that time on, I've noticed that as time goes on, the theme of zombies has become more popular than ever. You see it all the time, from video games to cartoons to shows like The Walking Dead and everything else. And it kind of made me wonder why it is that zombies have become such a great part of the popular culture in America. We know that zombies don't really exist. It's mythical, it's a fable, but let's go back to the understanding of what the genre of myth actually means. A myth is a story or a fable that's meant to explain a truth. Now, the stories themselves may not be true, but they convey a truth that is to be disseminated. And so the myth of the zombie actually contains a paradox. It's the living dead, an animated corpse. But the word anima comes from the Latin for a soul. Well, the zombie has no soul. So what is it that makes the zombie move? Well, as we all know, it's the action of witchcraft. There's an evil force over the corpse that makes it move and do the will of another person who's got evil behind it. And the evil continues to spread. You know, evil is what makes the zombie move, to cause fear, to cause destruction, and even to cause death. As we all know, the zombie craves and devours the flesh and blood of the living in order to keep on living, thus in that action creating more zombies and furthering the mayhem. Sadly, that kind of reflects our modern society, which is why I think the myth of the zombie has become so popular. But what is the truth? What is the truth behind that myth that's in our psyche? Living beings naturally want to survive. From the moment that you and I took our first breath, that's been our goal, is to live. We all want to live. Even those people who don't believe in a God or don't believe in a human soul or believe in an afterlife don't want to be forgotten. That's why they try to make their names known and make themselves become public. But notice how as people age, as people get older, they want more attention. There's a fear of being forgotten, a fear of being irrelevant. And that's what happens. So we realize there's got to be life beyond this in some way, shape, or form. Along with that, we also have, as part of our fallen human nature, a desire to control. We want to have dominion over things. Maybe to have domination over others, or even have domination over God. We want God and others to bend to our own will, which is never a good thing. Now, when sin like this is committed, it breeds more sin. And as St. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. So having killed the life of sanctifying grace in the soul, human beings then truly become the living dead. So think about that. It's been said that in the resurrection, when Jesus returns, the condition of the body is going to be in relation to the condition of the soul. If the soul is Christ-like and with Christ, then obviously the body becomes resurrected just as Christ himself was resurrected on that first Easter Sunday. When we think of souls in hell and we think of zombies, well, it pretty much matches together, doesn't it? Condition of the soul equals the condition of body in resurrection. Those who are in hell because they have killed the life of sanctifying grace through mortal sin. And we do it, sadly, in our society all the time. We become the living dead in that fashion. Jesus talked about that in the Gospels. but those who appear like whitewashed tombs, beautiful to behold on the outside, but on the inside full of the bones of the dead. Dead in grace, dead in conscience, and because of that, dead wrong in thought and in action. When this happens, we begin to tear at and devour one another, and we perpetuate the mortal disease of sin and its destruction. And thus, as I said, that's why I think the myth of the zombie is so popular today. It reflects a modern society that is, sadly, motivated by evil. A society that is terribly self-absorbed, self-willed, and absolutely selfish. Modern thinking and modern actions lead to moral, intellectual, and spiritual mutilation and destruction of the world. People might be alive in body, but millions are dead on the inside. And we act in so many ways worse than beasts. When we think of things like addictions to substances, be it drugs or alcohol, or be it pornography or food or sex or money or power or possessions, all these things turn us into mindless zombies, moved only by our evil and our base passions, and turns us into the living dead, hell-bent on destroying anyone or anything getting in our way. But why is this day, Easter, different from any other day? It's because we, as St. Paul says, were dead in our sins, but we've been called and redeemed by the one who was once dead, but who lives forever. You and I have been made fully alive in Christ by our baptism, by the Holy Spirit. We are not zombies. So why do we continue to act as though we are? St. Paul says that just as Christ was risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, we have been given a new life by the Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit that is living and acting within us. With the Holy Spirit, we are called by God to use our minds to think and to ponder His mysteries, to meditate on His Word, and to judge between good and evil. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, He's asking us to use our hearts to choose what is truly good, to choose what is holy, to choose what is beautiful, to love God, and to love neighbor. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, He calls us to use our intellects and our wills to seek and to choose the things that are above, not only the things of this world, but the things that profit us forever, to be filled with life, to be a resurrected people. He animates our bodies with a living soul touched by grace, so that our mouths can speak what is good and true, to speak what is holy, to announce the good news of salvation. Our hands to work for the good of others and for the good of our own selves. Our knees to bend in prayer. In the beautiful words of St. Irenaeus, the glory of God is man and woman fully alive in Christ. That is the glory of God. We, men and women, fully alive in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said He came for. He says that I came that you would have life and have it in its fullness. He wants us to know the joy of His love, the peace of His mercy, the contentment of His friendship. Jesus came to make us holy, to make us wise, to make us sinless. And so, brothers and sisters, do we ask Him to do that? Do we ask our resurrected Lord to make us and to keep us holy, to make us and keep us wise, to make us and keep us sinless? He made us part of His mystical body, the church, through baptism, through Holy Eucharist, through confirmation. Do we love, do we live like children of God? Do we read and meditate on His holy word? Are we nourished at least weekly by His body and blood in the Eucharist? Do we seek the forgiveness of sins and the gift of confession? Do you and I live as resurrected persons according to the Spirit that He has given us, the Spirit that produces in us nothing but good fruit? Or are we simply merely the living dead? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Alleluia.